Welcome to In Focus. It's one of my favorite times of the month because we have got Jane Paul from Early On here to talk about early childhood education, a couple of very important topics that we're going to cover today. Jane, welcome back to In Focus.
Thanks for having us back again, Bob.
Let's start with this, okay? It is March break, and this is a time for a lot of parents where could be a little bit frustrating at times trying to figure out what to do with them. But thankfully, we've had this turn in the weather.
I know. Isn't it gorgeous out there right now?
I've been outside every day since Sunday. Well, probably Saturday, actually. So yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. And I guess that's one of the things that spurred the topic this morning, you know, we're talking about March break. And I mean, we've been posting stuff for the last couple of weeks, all about community resources, right? We're a family that just loves the water. So the pools are open. Perth Pool, where you are, I mean, they have free swims all, you know, all week long. The libraries have got all sorts of stuff, from making slime and scientists in the house to being detectives and, you know, St. Patrick's Day stuff. Skating rinks have free swims. They have playgroups going on all week. But one of the biggest resources that I think we forget about is outside.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of funny that you say that, because we live in one of the best parts of the country to be outside.
We absolutely do. You know, we are blessed in this county with all sorts of places to go. And one of the things about being outside is it doesn't matter where you go. You can head to the local park. You can head out to, you know, a farmer's field. You can just be in your backyard. And I want to talk a little bit about the benefits of just being outside.
Yeah, let's do that. And there's many benefits that people may not even think of, right?
Well, yeah. And I mean, my job is parent education, right? And most of the time I deal with people who are trying to figure out how to manage behaviors in their kids. So I'm going to back up a little bit here, as I often do. Mm-hmm. I was a cub leader for over 25 years, way out here in Watson's Corners in the middle of no man's land. We actually had one of the first co-ed packs in Ontario. And one of the things we did really well was being outside. We were outside all the time. And one of the biggest things I learned from being outside was that, you know, we had a group of about 25 cubs. We had another 23 scouts. And if you knew Watson's Corners, I mean, we are a crossroads. That's it. And people flocked in. So we had lots and lots of kids in our program. And when we went outside, because we had big fields behind us and we did a lot of canoeing and camping and stuff, when we were outside, the behavior issues that came with having that many really active, enthusiastic kids disappeared. And so as a parent educator, that's huge for me. When I'm looking at why behaviors happen and what's going on, have all of those troublesome moments basically disappear. Like, what the heck's going on, right?
For sure. And it's interesting because you can go back and revisit the same places over and over again, and their young eyes find something new every single time.
Absolutely. And I think that's a big part of it. So the questions come up, you know, what's going on here? Why are we so much, why are we enjoying this so much? Why are kids who struggled inside in a big group all of a sudden being much more social, helping each other out, you know, listening better, focusing better, doing what we're being asked when that was not the norm inside? So I think that is one of the biggest benefits of being outside with your kids, is that they are in the moment. It's such a sensory rich environment, right? When you sit down, when you ask kids, okay, hang on, I got something to tell you, take a seat. When they sit down, their hands are immediately, you know, in the summertime, it's in the grass. They pick up a rock, they pick up a stick. There's something right there to do with their body. Right now, with all the snow and stuff that's out there, you know, you head outside, you hear the sounds, very different when the snow muffles everything, right? There's a silence, but also the bird songs, the wind in the trees. There's just so much going on. It pulls you into the moment. So there's a lot less worry. There's a lot less stress because you feel everything with your body. Your brain is engaged. Your body is engaged. You are right there in the moment. So it's one of the biggest stress relievers that you can have. And you know me, I'm all about the stress and how that affects our body and brain, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with what we've been through and what we continue to go through, stress is there. And there's no hiding from it, is there?
Exactly. And I think that's what one of the key points to why those behaviors disappeared, right? It improves mental health. It lowers the stress. Funny thing about stress, though, when you're outside, there's actually an increase in what we call good stress, because stress isn't all bad, right? Stress is a motivator for change. Stress gets us excited about life. It gets everything engaged and thinking and working. So stress is an important thing in our life if we're going to enjoy it. But the stressors that happen when kids are outside are stressors that you can actually deal with. It's about, if I want to go from here to there, I got to walk from here to there. Oh, look, there's a stick. I can jump over that stick. I can pick up that stick. What am I going to do with this stick? And so it's a stress that engages the mind and body, but it helps you figure out what you're going to do. It puts you in the driver's seat, and that is huge for mental health. There's something called self-efficacy, where we believe that what we do in life makes a difference, so that we have some control over what happens and what happens to us and what happens for us to make other things happen, right?
Absolutely. And one of the main points that I hope people are picking up on here is that this is not just about what's best for the child. It is what's best for the parent as well, in this case, going outside. The benefits that they will experience is absolutely off the charts. And it could be something that they don't even realize they need. Like every time I head outside, it's okay, we're getting ready and all this, and there's all the hubbub with that, putting everything on and so on. And then once you're out, you're just out. You just breathe, you enjoy it. And then you get to watch the discovery happen.
Exactly. And that's what it is. It's all about discovery and it's all about learning and just being in the world. And I think you hit a key point there. You go out often. So for you, as soon as you go out there, you have a level of comfort when you're out there. So one of the things, I want to share some of the things we learned in taking kids outside. We ran a program years ago in Crow called Get Out, where we went out and did things outside and in community resources. I grew up, in the boondocks with four brothers. What did our parents do when we were too much in the house? They kicked us outside.
Yep.
So I've spent a lot of time outside. We still do. And that gives you that comfort level that you're talking about. When you go out, you immediately de-stress because it's a familiar environment. It's something that you're used to doing. When you go out there, you know what the options are. So when parents are starting with kids, especially young ones or kids that haven't been outside a lot, you have to do it enough times that they get that comfort level, where they understand that there are things that they can do, where they get excited about the possibilities that are there. So you have to do it enough times to create that comfort level. And that's part of what de-stresses you.
And it fosters independence.
Absolutely. Absolutely fosters independence, competence, confidence, right? And we're going to do that. One of the things when you're out there, you talked about getting ready to go out. So if you have little ones, and of course, we're dealing with little ones all the time, the right clothes matter. And I'm not talking about going out and spending billions of dollars, but the contract for going outside says you're going to get dirty, says you're going to get wet, says you're going to get muddy. Be prepared for it. Nobody has fun, especially this time of the year, when your hands are freezing and your toes are freezing and that, you know, that those wet clothes suck the heat right out of your body. So do be prepared. Layer, layer, layer. It's the insulation in between your layers of clothes that keep you warm. So those anything that can shed water and snow right now, so snow pants, wind pants, rain gear. When we ran Cubs, we that was one thing we insisted on. Kids, when they came camping, had to have rubber boots. They had to have a raincoat. They had to have rain pants.
I remember getting the lists. The lists were, you'd get it, and then you'd have to go down the checklist and make sure it was all packed away.
Exactly.
Oh, you're bringing me back.
Well, okay. Well, let's go there. What was one of your favorite memories of childhood?
Well, when you talk about Cub Camp, that was one of my favorite for sure, because even if we just went for a night, I can remember, you know, one of my favorite memories as a kid was being at a Cub Camp in the winter and being up on this fort. And of course I was a kid, so it felt like I was 30 feet in the air, but I was probably about 3, and I lost my footing and I fell, but I fell into the inside of this fort that had probably about 3 feet of snow. So I just fell back and I was scared at first, and then boom, I landed in this snow and I was completely fine and started laughing. And next thing you know, you have my entire cub pack falling off the thing intentionally to land into the snow. But it was playing with my friends out there. It was so much fun. It was great.
You've been a leader your whole life there, Bob.
Well, and the one thing I will say, you mentioned the Get Out. Like, we had that program in the 70s as well, but it was my mother's, you know, slightly louder than normal speaking voice telling us to exit the home and get out. And we certainly did. And we and really, all those fun memories that we have, or that I have of growing up, I'd say 99% of them are outside playing hide and seek in our neighborhood, playing sports, playing road hockey, doing all of these things, walking the trails, riding our bikes, riding the skateboard, playing basketball. You know, it's all outside.
It is. And one of the things it does is it gives you that sense of resilience, those resilient skills. When you talked about being scared of falling, and when you talked about being alone, not having adults watching over your shoulder all the time, when kids are outside and they're allowed to lead and they're allowed to explore their environment, they will put little bits of fear into everything they do. You talked about, you know, feeling that height was 30 feet in the air, even though it might have only been 3, right? We talk about hopping on our bikes and, you know, going down the hill as fast as we can, riding even without our hands. Kids will inject a specific amount of fear that they can manage into everything they do when they're outside. And that is part of what helps them as adults learn to deal with the curves that get thrown at them. Right? When things get tough, when things are difficult, when you're not sure what the outcome is going to be, it all starts here, going outside, playing, managing that fear that is there. So it's a huge part of it. And I mean, you've got to realize that everything that's out there becomes a tool for you. So there are a million things that you can do with mud, snow, sticks, rocks. The rules change. It's a place where you're allowed to throw things. You're allowed to poke things. You're allowed to whack things, as long as it's not your friends.
Or right? Grandpa.
Or grandpa that's around. Absolutely. But it allows the children to go out and check out the physics of the world and the social skills. What is okay, what isn't okay out there, right? Because there's less rules. They become much more active right away. When they're in the living room, even though our living room became a gym, it's still a small space, right? We have a playgroup out in the Beckwith soccer field, and you can put 40 people in there and still feel like nobody's there. Yeah. Immediately, the kids go from one end of the field to the other end of the field. And I'm talking, you know, toddlers, 18 months, that are just, you know, figuring out how to walk and go along. You immediately go longer distances. You immediately start using your body. You're allowed to jump, roll, twist, all of those things, run, that you can't do the same way when you're indoors. So you become healthier physically. You become healthier mentally. And when you lead, like you said, you build that confidence. And parents and adults need to back off and allow the children to lead. That's the way they get to build that confidence. They're going to fail in some of the things they do. You talked about forts. A fort is a fort is a fort. A fort is a fort, whether it's, you know, an amazing tree fort or whether it's 3 sticks leaned up against a stone. It doesn't matter. Back off, adults. You do not have to help them make it something spectacular. It just needs to be something that they have built and they feel a sense of accomplishment for. So all of those things matter when you're outside. Let them lead, follow their lead. Yeah, be there because you still need to be there for a sense of health and safety. But kids are way more competent than we believe that they are. If they're out there lots and lots of times, and again, start with, 15 or 20 minutes if you're just getting used to it, but soon it'll be 2 hours and they won't want to come in, especially as the weather gets warmer here. And bring food.
Yeah, I was going to say, the best piece of advice that you've sent me here in advance is bring snacks. And that is so true. And it's going to do a couple of things. It's going to, obviously keep them happy and so on, but can also extend your time outside. Because a crabby, hungry kid is not a happy kid to have outside. And if you bring these snacks and so on, then yeah, you can extend your time out there and enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah. And I mean, there's always options. If you're not going to bring the food with you, prepare it before you go. So that when you get back in with these tired, hungry kids, the food is right there. Finger food they can pick up and eat right there. Because they need the energy. They're going to burn energy. We need to help them replace it so they can manage their feelings and cope with all the stressors of life anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Jane, once again, some incredible things there. Was there anything that we didn't mention that you wanted to make sure that you let our listeners know before we let you go?
I think it's just that it's important that these are things that allow kids to use their imagination, which leads to lots of problem solving all across their life. And when they have a comfort level as kids, that becomes a lifelong skill. The only other thing I really need to promote here too, workshops, because that's what I do, workshops coming up. We have Intro to Baby Sign coming up next week. It's not a full sign course, but it'll give you the ins and outs of doing baby sign, which is communication with little guys. We have one of our big ones, Triple P, the Positive Parenting Program, which is 5 weeks plus three more check-ins coming up. And it's one of our real meat and potatoes ones. So again, find me on Facebook at Crow Parent Education or email me at jpaul@crowlanark.com and we can sign you up. All our programs are free. Check out our playgroups. We have lots more inside at the moment and we still have lots outside. So come for a toddler wobble and you don't have to go far when you're outside. You just need to give them time and space and freedom to explore what's there. So all of those things are available to you. It's your tax dollars at work, people. Come on out and make good use of it.
I think you probably, including myself, you brought us all down memory lane today and started to spark some memories in there. Like certainly you bringing up cubs and so on. I'm remembering my pledge to the Akela, to do my best. And then you also made me remember the word woggle. You remember to attach the scarf, right?
Yep.
Woggle. Yep. But primarily it's the good times that I had outside as a kid and they're all just flooding back to me right now. And I hope that parents who are listening right now will have that same experience and then be sparked to do the same thing with their kids, because you've certainly given me a ton of ideas here today and I really appreciate that.
Well, I think it's important to go back to the basics, right? We need to remember that we don't have to entertain. Things don't have to be complicated. We just have to provide the experience and the kids will take over and do what they need.
Absolutely. Jane, thank you so much. I look forward to our next conversation.
All right. Stay well. Take care.
Jane Paul from Early On here, our guest today on In Focus. She joins us to talk about early childhood education once a month here on Lake 88. And we're so blessed that she does. Now, tomorrow, it's our weekly local COVID-19 update with Leeds, Grenville and Lanark District Health Unit Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Paula Stewart. I'm Bob Perreault. Thank you so much for listening. Stay safe and have a wonderful afternoon.